Hello and thank you for tuning into Sideline Story, your destination for sports news, analysis and discussions. I'm your host, Yang Guan, and today we have our co-hosts, Fu Yu and Tian Yu, joining us. In this episode, we're going to discuss Team China's FIFA World Cup qualification campaign under the new coach, Branko Ivankovic from Croatia. The 70-year-old recently replaced Alexander Jankovic, who was sacked following Team China's group stage exit from the Asian Cup in Qatar. It's not the first time Ivankovic has a managerial role in China. He was the head coach of Chinese Super League club Shandong Taishan for 2 years from 2009. He also had coaching spells in European clubs as well as national teams here in Asia. Fu Yu, looking at this resume and his past coaching experience, do you think Branko Ivankovic is a good choice for Team China right now? What difference do you expect him to make?
Yeah, like you said, from his past experiences, he's someone who knows China's football and who knows football in Asia. Ivankovic's appointment seems rather rushed to me because his first official game in charge is a World Cup qualifier against Singapore.
Quite a challenge.
Yeah, that game came less than 3 weeks after he started the job. So there's not even time and room for trial and error between him and the team. And they get down to real business very soon. But I can see where the choice came from because... Actually, I hate to say this, but given the current circumstances, the current state that China's football is in, I don't think it makes that big of a difference who takes over the team, who coaches the team. The FA, the Football Association officials here in China, I think they chose Ivankovic because of his knowledge. He expressed his confidence and his extensive knowledge about football in China, and also because of his previous jobs, like you mentioned, coaching national football teams in Asia, including Iran. And he just came off of his job from Oman.
Mm-hmm.
He left that role after the Asian Cup. So I think... To me, he is a very realistic and safe choice for China at the moment. And also, I think since their first campaign, and the most important one actually, is the World Cup qualifier, I think that will also give both the coach and the team a clean sheet to work from.
Mm-hmm. I really like when you described it's a safe option. I quite agree. Ivankovic had coaching career in experience in China, and he led Shandong Taishan to the Chinese Super League title. He's familiar with working with Chinese players and colleagues.
Yes.
And he also coached the national teams like Iran and Oman. He knows the dynamic of Asian football. This really gave him the edge.
Mm.
I know reports said Jurgen Klinsmann was also considered after the Chinese Football Association fired Jankovic. Klinsmann is a better-known coach, of course, but I think he lacks experience in dealing with local players, especially with Asian players, when language and culture become a barrier.
And also his football philosophy, which originated from Europe, may not work in Asia.
Exactly. And most recently, how he managed the South Korean national team drew a lot of criticism from fans, and that spell ended quite ugly for the German coach. So I would also doubt it if he could well build good relationship with the Chinese footballers and truly be devoted to this job. So realistically speaking, Ivankovic may not be the best option, but he's a safe option.
Yeah.
Tian Yu, do you agree?
I think we could say that there is a sign of hope that we could see from Ivankovic's coaching style, particularly from the players that he chose to field. Look at the squad he chose to assemble in the first training camp after he took office. Five of them were called upon to the national team training for the first time. And before the training, Ivankovic said that he would choose a couple of newcomers every time there is a national team training. And he plans to incorporate more young players to energize the current squad. Mm. And I would say this is a quite positive change, as the average age of this current Chinese team has reached about 30 years old, which can be deemed as an old squad. And I think bringing more young players and give these players more chances will definitely do good to the team and create more vitality among the players. And also, speaking of the qualifiers, I think what I expect the most from these games is to see whether the players can play more aggressively and confidently. You know, in the past three games on the Asian Cup, the Chinese team has scored no goal, which is totally unacceptable for me. And I think this terrible results could be largely explained by the poor tactics and decisions made by former coach Jankovic. You know, some of the players were playing in positions they're not familiar with, they're not comfortable with. And in previous friendlies, we could see some beautiful combos presented by some players in the front line. But when it comes to the official games on the Asian Cup, the players seem to be different people. They seem to be very nervous all the time. And if something must change, I hope it's their playing style. We want to see a team that can be efficient in attacks and players who dare to dribble and pass threatening balls.
Yes, the Chinese team's playing style and the coaching style of Ivankovic now is something Chinese fans pay a lot of attention to. From his recent interview, Ivankovic said his coaching approach is to pick the right players for the right positions. He won't make the players try out roles they're not familiar with just because of the coach's tactics. It's quite, I think, the opposite of his predecessor Jankovic's approach.
Yeah, he's definitely learned lesson.
Yeah. I remember a lot of players were put to positions they are not adapted to. For example, Jankovic transformed Liu Bingbing, a winger, to a left back, which led to disastrous performance from Liu during the Asian Cup. I mean, it's quite a rigid method. It's like forcing an equestrian horse to work like a farmland donkey, because you need a donkey. So I think it's something needs to be corrected. So I think this will be corrected, according to Ivankovic in his interview. And another thing, as you mentioned, Tianyu, earlier, is the change in this squad. A lot of new names called up now, including Ai Ke-sun, the naturalized player born in Brazil. I think many years ago, people had high expectations for Ai Ke-sun because he had really glorious career with Guangzhou. And now it seems like his news with the national team became quiet now. But this time, Ai Ke-sun has earned a national team call-up after his absence from the list when Jankovic was in charge. Tianyu, what do you make of this change?
Well, I think Ai Ke-sun's comeback is definitely a good thing for Team China. Even though he's already 34 years old and he has been troubled by injury for quite a long time. So he may not be able to start for the whole game. But still, his strong body and excellent shooting skills can always pose a lot of danger to the opponent's defense line. And he can be a very good substitute for strikers like Zhang Yuning and Wu Lei. And also, his rich experience in international tournaments will offer a lot of help to this team as the two-time AFC champion. And personally, I really like this player because as a naturalized player, Ai Ke-sun's always very positive about playing for China.
Yes.
And yeah, he's playing the best he could every time he has a chance. So I think his comeback will offer more variety and experience to this Chinese team.
Yeah, the willingness to play for the national team is something really matters for these naturalized players. I mean, a lot of naturalized players, when they don't call up to the team, they chose to return to their original countries to play. But Ai Ke-sun stayed for quite a while. And this call-up is something I think he deserves for his commitment. I think I agree it's a good move. It may not mark Team China's complete switch to attacking football because just one player, but at least a positive sign that Ivankovic is willing to address Team China's attacking issue. I mean, Jankovic stepped down majorly because of the group stage exit from the Asian Cup without a single goal scored. Yeah. Embarrassing. He emphasized too much on defense and toughness of the team. But being tough, I think it's far from enough.
And physical power.
Yes, for winning games. I mean, it's not a boxing match. You need to tell the players how to put the ball into the net, for crying out loud. So from this perspective, Ivankovic may have a lot to say. I checked the stats of Oman and Iran under Ivankovic's reign, and their goal-scoring performances were quite impressive. Mm. Oman averaged one goal per game in 52 games with him, while Iran scored 2.4 goals per game average.
Yeah,
with Ivankovic. He knows how to build a goal-scoring team, which is something Team China needs right now. And Eikerson's call-up is, I think it's a key move here. Mm. For you.
Yeah, just echoing what you just both said, I really like Eikerson, or Eikerson as he is now known in China. Mm. And out of all the naturalized players, wherever they're from, Eikerson seems to be the most dedicated to both his sport and his adopted country. Mm. And just to follow up on more facts about his passion for playing for China, I remember the first national day here in China that he spent after he obtained his Chinese citizenship. Mm. I believe that was in 2019. He wrote on social media about how excited and how proud he is to be spending this day, October 1st, in China. I don't know of any other naturalized players who did anything similar. So yeah, that's about his... Well, you can say patriotism because he holds a Chinese passport now.
Yeah, right.
And also, apart from Eikerson's respect and dedication, he is still a good player despite the fact that he is now 34. He still can score goals. This call-up to the national team also shows the trust that the new coach has in him. I think Eikerson and Wu Lei will be a powerful attacking lineup for China during this World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the Chinese food that serves Eikerson well.
Captures his heart.
Yeah, but he's now kind of chubby or bigger than he first came to China. Yeah, but I have no doubt that he will contribute once he steps onto the pitch with Team China. I mean, with Ivankovic's coaching career, coaching style, as I said, he emphasizes on attacking football. I think Eikerson will have a role to play. I'm looking forward to seeing Ivankovic's national team with more creativity in front, with more penetrating runs and penetrating passes. And calling up Eikerson is a good start. Even though Eikerson is 34, he may not be able to play 90 minutes on the pitch, but his skills and experience to control the ball, deliver the threatening passes, and link up with the midfield are definitely valuable assets for Team China.
Yeah.
But the fans may have different opinions about Eikerson's call-up. I mean, some fans, because he hasn't played a minute in the new season of the Chinese Super League yet with Chengdu Rongchun. His physical condition would be full of question marks. But considering the lack of creativity up front with the current national team squad, I still think Eikerson has a role to play. Given even 5 or 10 minutes, he may produce chances in the final third with passes or shots. So personally, I'm quite optimistic about his return to the national team as a solution up front. Besides Ikerson, Ivankovic also called up Fernando, another naturalized player.
also from Brazil.
Yeah. Tianyu, do you think Team China now should reuse more naturalized players to upgrade the squad? Because we didn't use them, I think, to their utmost in the previous stints with different coaches.
Well, I think in the short term, using more naturalized players might be a cure for the current trouble there that this team is faced with. Bringing more high-level young foreign players will definitely give a boost to the strength of the squad. And playing with these players can also raise the level of those domestic players and add to the variety of the team's tactics. But the problem is a player as professional and skillful like Ikerson is really scarce. You can't buy some good players with big money, but money can't necessarily buy their hearts. So in the end, I think counting on naturalized players totally is not the way out. And what we need to do in the long run is still working on a youth training system and improving the competitiveness of this Chinese Super League. And only in this way can we find more domestic talents and at the same time retain these naturalized players.
Yeah, not every naturalized player is dedicated to the national team like Ikerson. If we have 10 Ikersons, then we have a total naturalized squad. That would be great. For you, what do you think?
I noticed a word that you just used, which is upgrade. I wouldn't say upgrade the Chinese squad yet until there is substantial improvement, such as maintaining a consistently improving ranking in Asia. Let's not be so ambitious for now and say world rankings. Let's just improve the rankings in Asia first, or being recognized as a team that's capable of competing not for the title, but maybe for the quarterfinals or the semis at major international competitions, which actually I don't see happening anytime soon. So unless something like that happens, I think any attempt to naturalize players is for, like Tianyu said, for short-term goals. Not that there's any problem with that. It's exciting that there's these new additions to a national team to help achieve their major goals, such as reaching a World Cup. And I can see that it's important because for players such as Ikerson, who is 34, this may be their last opportunity. So while it's important for these players, for this current squad, to work hard and make breakthroughs, because we know that so far China has only played in one World Cup, that is more than 20 years ago, so many generations before. And it'll be a huge morale boost for not only this squad, but future generations.
And the whole country, even.
Sure. If the Chinese team reaches the World Cup in North America, with everyone working toward that goal, it's even more important to make that achievement sustainable if they get there. So I think naturalized players can help, but cannot be relied on for further or development for football here in China.
I think Team China is undergoing a very tough period right now, facing a transitional phase because the core players are kind of at tail of their playing career, while young players are not quite ready to step up. Team China was the second oldest team at the Asian Cup. So I think for short term, naturalize the players can fill this gap. Jiang Guangtai has proven that naturalize the players can make big impact on the pitch. He was probably the biggest find or the only silver lining for Team China during a catastrophic Asian Cup campaign. I mean, he's rock solid in the defensive line. So there's definitely room for naturalize the players on this team. Besides Ikerson, new coach Ivankovic has also called up Fernando, as I mentioned, I think it's a wise move. We have talented footballers at the coach's disposal. Why don't we make full use of them? The previous two head coaches more relied on local players. Maybe they thought the Chinese-born players can truly work as a team together, considering the communication on the pitch, the dynamic in the locker room. I kind of felt the naturalized players weren't given the full opportunities and trust. We haven't seen a Chinese squad using naturalized players to the utmost. Maybe they can bring more changes. There are also claims that using more naturalized players will affect local young players' chances and harm the team in the long run. I mean, Japan used to have many naturalized players. It didn't damage the local young talent's path upward. Quite opposite, I think they sort of...
They were improving.
Yeah, they stimulated the growth of young players on the team. There emerged a generation of football prospects in Japan who later became the backbones of the national team. So I do think it's a good time for reuse those naturalized players for Team China, and it seems like Ivankovic sees it the same way. And Fu Yu, you just mentioned Team China's target of reaching 2026. Do you think it's a realistic target right now?
I'd like you to ask me after a few more games, after a few more qualifiers under this new coach. But I think after the expansion of the World Cup, and given what I'm already seeing from training under Ivankovic, I think it's possible.
Okay. Tianyu, what do you think?
Realistically, we do stand a chance to secure a place in the World Cup. The other three teams we faced with are South Korea, Singapore, and Thailand. I'm not crazy, so I don't count on Team China to take one game from South Korea. But if we could secure more victories when playing against Singapore and Thailand, we do have great possibility advancing from this group.
But I mean, it's still phase two, right?
Yeah.
Even if we get through phase two after qualification
still
campaign, there's phase three qualifying with 18 teams, if not I'm not mistaken. So I think that's truly the challenge for Team China if we can progress from the current stage. I mean, since China, since Asia now has more allocations for the World Cup, it definitely, I think, boosts the chances for Team China. But if we look into the situation for the 2022 and for the 2018 World Cup qualifiers, Team China both broke into the final phase, which consisted of 12 teams. But Team China finished in 9th and 11th overall in those two campaigns. And this time Asia is given 8 berths and a playoff ticket. That means it's 8.5 seats, and Team China finished in 9th and 11th in previous two
really
campaigns.
Dangerous.
So it's
just
so
outside the door.
Yeah, so mathematically, it's still a tricky road ahead.
Yeah.
But I do believe China will recollect its form after that disappointing Asian Cup elimination and learn lessons from there. And with the new coach Ivankovic, with more naturalized players, China may be able to trigger some upsets on its way to 2026. It may narrow down just to one or two key matchups in the end to determine if we can return to the World Cup finals or not. We need to make sure no mistakes anymore on those key fixtures. But that is all we have time for this week's episode of Sideline Story. Thank you so much for joining us, and we are more than happy to see your comments from wherever you listen to our program. Thanks a lot. See you next time.
Sideline Story brings you all things sports related. The hottest topics, latest events, juiciest stories, all with a very personal take. Subscribe to Sideline Story Podcast for heated sports discussions covering events that are happening in China and around the world.